Welcome to the Faith-Filled Entrepreneur Podcast, where we focus on building your business through tangible strategies and ideas, all through the lens of the Christian faith, leaning on God as our strength and guide as we learn, grow, and encourage each other. My name is Jen Kleiber, owner of the educational consulting company Pressing Onward, and your host as we journey through this business-building life together. So we all have our wheelhouses, so to speak, that desire zone where you feel really comfortable. For me, one of those things is coaching. So I wanted to spend this episode talking about some of the basic principles that I have found work really well for coaching, no matter what the topic is that you're actually coaching on. Here are a few truths that I believe constitute a good coach. Number one, a good coach can verbalize whatever it is that they are trying to coach in manageable steps. Number two, a good coach asks good questions, oftentimes knowing the answer that they are looking for ahead of time. Number three, a good coach has aligned goals with the person that they are coaching. Number four, a good coach can genuinely build the other person up no matter how much help that person needs. And number five, a good coach can connect quickly. So just to be clear, I've been coaching for about 10 years, and this is simply what my experience and research has shown. So let's go through each one of these. So number one, a good coach can verbalize whatever it is that they are trying to coach in manageable steps. I can't tell you how many people, specifically teachers, because that's the main audience that I work with, are amazing in the classroom. But when I ask them to tell me what it is they're doing to plan or run their classroom in a certain way, they struggle to put it into words. A lot of times an administrator will connect a new teacher in with a stellar teacher because of the way that that teacher's classroom runs. But if the veteran teacher can't verbalize what and how they do what it is they do, they're going to be a very little help to the new teacher. And oftentimes, I've seen the new teacher leave feeling even more overwhelmed than they were when they walked in. So if you're thinking about moving into coaching, I encourage you to really be able to verbalize what it is you're going to help with. And creating a course or writing a book is a great way to not only add value and a resource, but also to get your thoughts in order. Sometimes even just making a checklist can be helpful as you think through what systems and processes you use. Okay, number two, a good coach asks good questions, oftentimes knowing the answer that they're looking for ahead of time. So once you have your thoughts organized and in a way that you can verbalize them, don't talk. I've seen so many coaches sit down with a client and just start throwing up a bunch of ideas and action steps. And while the content may be all good, that is not how the majority of people learn and respond best. So a good coach needs to be able to ask questions that lead the person they are coaching to a realization. Sure, you can give suggestions if the person is open to it and if they've come to a realization that they need a little help. But at that point, they've realized where the problem lies and they will either come up with the solution on their own or be open to you helping them. Let me give you another example. When I'm working with a teacher, one thing we do is a reflection sheet on the lesson that I observed or the last lesson that they taught. Now, one of my main goals when working with teachers is to help them incorporate more student talk within their lesson. Less teacher talk, more student engagement, right? I can't just go in and give them a bunch of strategies for doing this, unless, of course, they've specifically asked for that, and then they're ready for it. So, two of the questions on my reflection sheet ask, how many opportunities did each student have to process through the new learning? And how many opportunities did each student have to talk about the new learning? Now, if I was in the classroom, I already know the answer to this, but it's much more effective for the teacher to say, oh, you know, I didn't really give many opportunities. I asked a few questions whole group, but only a few kids answered those questions. So then my next question says, if more talking and processing opportunities would be helpful, how could strategies be incorporated moving forward? And this leads us into a plan so that the teacher is either going to go through some strategies he or she already knows, and I'm going to totally affirm them, or if they ask for some help, I've got them in my back pocket because I knew that that was the direction I was going with this coaching session anyways. If he or she doesn't need my strategies and only needed me to help them recognize what needed to happen in their classroom intentionally, then it's so much better for them to use their own ideas because they're going to be more apt to actually do them. In thinking about this, I've been thinking about the coaching that I've gotten from Darren this past year. And what I absolutely love about our conversations is that he'll ask a question and I'll give an answer and he'll give a suggestion. Have you thought about? And then my brain will go into overload. I'll take his suggestion 5 steps further and be super excited about it. And then I'll actually do it. Okay, so the number 3, a good coach has aligned goals with the person they are coaching. This can actually be a little trickier than it seems. When I sit down to coach a teacher or a group of teachers, I always have them fill out a form that asks about their goals for our time together. Because here's the deal. Maybe I'm there to help them with writing, but if they don't know how to get their kids to sit in their desks and that's their goal, I'm going to need to help them tackle that first. And they're also going to be super open to suggestions and putting in the work here because they've already identified that as a problem. This is a tough place to be as a coach, and I've played around with this quite a bit. Sometimes I dictate what we're going to be working on. Sometimes I let the person I'm coaching decide. But the bottom line is when we can agree on a common goal at the beginning, it makes everything else so much easier, and it really builds that alliance between us because we are working towards a common goal. Okay, number 4, a good coach can genuinely build the other person up no matter how much help that person needs. So there's somewhat of a stigma in the U.S. with relying on or depending on or going to someone else to be coached or supported. We can be a very individualistic society, and sometimes we have the need to feel like I did it all by myself and I don't need anyone else. But this is just false. It's false in business. It's false biblically. It's false in our human makeup. But no matter the fact, when someone needs coaching, there's an underlying event or an idea of I'm not doing something right and I need help and you know more than I do. And people can walk into coaching already feeling defeated. It's super important that a coach is listening and watching for positive actions and ideas of the person they are coaching. In education, we call this the effective filter. When the effective filter is up and the person feels overwhelmed or defensive, very little learning will occur. But if we can lower the effective filter and make the person feel competent and confident, their brains are going to be more open to learning. And we do this authentically by identifying and pointing out the great things and the great ideas that the person is already doing. Okay, so number 3 and number 4 lead to number 5, which is a good coach can connect quickly. When you set common goals and you speak positively to your client, you are going to connect more quickly. I think a relationship is certainly beneficial, but I'm going to be honest. With my coaching business, I may only have 4 to 5 sessions that are 45 minutes each with a teacher. So I don't have the luxury of spending one of those sessions just shooting the breeze, right? But the person does need to leave with me, trusting me and feeling confident that they can do the work that we've both agreed on. Okay, so there's a lot to being a coach, but it's very, very rewarding. If you're wanting to move into coaching and you want to visit more, don't hesitate to reach out. In the meantime, I want to remind everyone that if you're a business owner or you're in the planning phases of being a business owner, jump into our Facebook group, The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur. There, we have some really amazing coaches that you could not only get coaching from, but you could also learn about how to be a coach from. In this group, we get business strategies, verses for guidance and encouragement, and it's just really encouraging to have a community that celebrates each other, networks with each other, and prays for each other. Thank you for listening. Please share this episode, subscribe, and download. And we'll be back with another episode of The Faith-Filled Entrepreneur